Good morning. So good to be together on this Lord's Day morning. I want to remind you again, we've been mentioning it for a couple weeks, that tonight at our 5 o'clock service, Ralph and I will be having an opportunity to come down and just answer questions, respond to questions that are turned in before 5 p.m. if you want to give them to Ralph, give something to me, write it down or send an email or text or something, we'll collect all of those and be a little more improvised and a little more brief than I usually do at in an ask service, usually when I answer the questions and have a million bullets to answer things. But hopefully that'll be helpful. And this morning, I want to talk about being focused on a different perspective. This is a slide from one of my favorite movies, Dead Poets Society. And I could relate to Robin Williams' character a little bit this weekend as I went to this YES event that I took Anna and Asher to. And it's a youth service where we're studying different things and kind of a camp. And I was looking at, 18 different high school kids with blank faces, didn't know me. And my goal was to shift their perspective, to change their thinking from A to B. And what Robin Williams did in this movie is he had everybody stand on their desk. And they had to stand above and look down, and his point was, you need to start looking at things from a new perspective. And in our text that was read earlier today, in Colossians 3, Paul doesn't just say, I want you to lift yourself 2 feet up above the ground and look at things from that perspective. I want you to look at everything in your life from the perspective of heaven. Heaven, and look down from there, because that changes everything. So, let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and think about some of this. If you would open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, you're going to spend the whole lesson in Colossians 3 and hopefully show how the whole chapter doesn't just want our minds above, but wants us to live differently because of it. I've heard this saying before, this person was so heaven-minded, he was of no earthly good. I don't even know exactly what that means. I think it's like your head is so in the clouds, you're not anchored in what really needs to happen in real life. Paul wants us to live real life on the ground from a heavenward perspective, a Christ focused perspective. And he says, when we do that, it changes everything. Now, the verses right before this, and let's look at that in chapter 2, right at the end, he's talking about this false approach, this wrong approach to getting yourself under control and keeping yourself from making bad decisions. And he talks about these false teachers who are going around. He says they want you to, in verse 20, submit to regulations, verse 21 of chapter 2, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And he calls these human precepts and teachings that sound good. They sound like they're, he says, according to wisdom, but they don't work. You just construct all of these boundaries and focus on earthly rules and bodily rules and this world rules without the transformation that is found in one person, Jesus Christ, without shifting your mind and your heart. And so that's where the change happens. And he's going to outline how that works when our minds are set on things above. And we put off old things, we can become something new. We don't need any new human rules. We've got some rules from the Lord, but the heart of the thing is not knowing what, don't do this, don't do that. The heart of it is knowing who we are now through Jesus. So I want to talk about your life. This is your life, as the old TV show used to say. And what we learn here is your life, if you have died with Christ and been buried with him in baptism and risen to new life, your life is hidden above. It says in Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus has conquered death in the cross, or conquered sin, conquered death in his resurrection. He has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. And so here we'll call this a throne, okay? This is where Christ is in heaven, and he is reigning. Where are you? Well, you're down here, right? You're down here, living out life, sitting on a chair, thinking about these things. But he says, just like Christ is up there, you not need to not only put your mind above, but there is some way in which you and your life is already hidden up here. Well, this is a profound mystery. This is something to really think about. But it's a mystery that has been expounded upon through the apostles and prophets to explain this idea. And so I asked these young people that I was teaching about this weekend, I asked them, what does it mean that it is hidden, that your life is hidden? And I got some pretty good answers. I said, first of all, it is kind of like something you can't see. You can't see it. And also, it's something that we don't fully have yet. There is a not yetness to us being fully with Christ in that new age that's to come. And yet, it is not yet, but it is also already true. So someday, he says, when Christ comes, then you will, and your life will appear when Christ returns. And so this is geography. We're going to switch between geography and time here. So there is this timeline of life, and there is this old age where we are stuck on this earth that is falling apart. And in these bodies that are falling apart, and so in that way, there is a not yetness to this thing. Because we have not risen from the dead. Things have not been made new yet. And yet, he says, you have raised with Christ. See, there's a resurrection to come of this body. It's going to be changed into something that is glorious like Jesus' body that was appearing here below. But already, if you have been baptized into Christ, you have been raised with Christ, and in that way, the new age has begun in you. You're in this overlap, right? Between what isn't yet and what will be, because your body is not raised, but your spirit is already made new and ready for that life to come. This is your reality already. Nobody else sees it. They don't see the walking dead among us who have no hope and no life and no clarity and no fellowship with God. And Jesus' resurrection power is not at work in them. But in you, it's already started. The new age has begun. You have risen with Christ through your baptism. That's your first resurrection. And then there's this other resurrection that will come when Jesus returns. And then your life, who you are, as 1 John 3 talks about, you don't know yet what you fully will be, but you will when Jesus comes again, and you'll be changed and fully made more like Jesus. And so already this is there. This is happening. Unseen and hidden does not mean unreal. It is real already. It's just people can't see it. Just like you plant a seed in the ground and you're waiting for it to sprout, but it's still there and its life is coming, and then you start to see it. Whenever we have little babies, one of the easiest way for a guy like me who just wants to make a baby laugh and get that joy selfishly for myself of seeing their smile is to hide and then peek out. And then disappear and then peek out. Why? Because they don't yet understand object permanence, right? They don't know, they don't realize yet in their brain that whenever you can't see something, it still exists. And so they're like, how'd you do that magic? You were gone and now you're here again. What is going on? But we know that just because I take this remote and put it down here, it does not mean it disappeared. It does not mean it stopped existing. It's still here. You just can't see it. And even though this full life to come with all of its glory and goodness has not yet been revealed, it's hidden. But it's there right now. And you already are living that heaven-style life here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a game changer. This is a life changer. And if your life is hidden above, then it must reshape how we see life below. And so he tells us to seek the things that are above. That's what we're pursuing with our hearts, and to set our minds on things above. That's what we're thinking about, is all those kinds of things, the things of Christ. Those are the things that we dwell on. You know, he fleshes this out more in Philippians 4:8 and in other lists of the kinds of things that are the things of Christ, the things of above, not these earthly things. And so he says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. You already, this other person, yes, we're still on the earth, we're still flesh. But you need to make a decisive break from these things. N.T. Wright uses this illustration that's kind of helpful in his commentary on this. He talks about how these false teachers are trying to take the wild animal, so to speak, of your desires and your flesh and these passions, and just with their rules that they're inventing, put them in a cage of their own making. And Paul says, that's not going to do it. You have to kill that beast. Kill it and let something new live in its place. Put to death what is earthly. And then he uses this metaphor of clothing. He says, you got to strip off all this gross old clothes that you've been wearing of immorality and greed, covetousness, which he says is idolatry. You're just worshiping all the stuff you want. And, you know, all these passions and the lying and all this stuff, you got to strip it off. Not to be naked, but to put on Christ, put on passion, put on a heart that is humble and gentle. This change of perspective, whenever we put these things above, on our minds above, it changes things. I remember whenever I went skydiving, one and only time I've ever done it, but it was great. And so I jumped out. It was a tandem jump. And the first experience of it was just chaos. It was just, you know, just air hitting you everywhere, and you're not sure where to look or what to do. And then the tandem jumper I was with pulled the chute, and all of a sudden, it was just peaceful. And I was just silently, quietly gliding down, looking on the world below. And sometimes we get caught up in all the chaos of everything that's happening. But whenever we can lift our minds to see from above, not being distant from our lives, but having perspective from God's perspective, from heaven's perspective, everything changes. The way you respond to a brother or sister in Christ, the way you interact with people, the way you interpret your trials changes. And if you need help doing that, a great way to do it is to pray. Whenever we pray, we are bringing ourselves into the throne room of God, and we're laying our concerns and thoughts before Him. We're bringing our worship and our thanksgiving before Him. And the more we do that, the more we spend time up there with Him, differently we see this. Another way to do it is to, as he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The more richly the words of Jesus through his own mouth and through his spirit and the apostles and prophets he spoke through, the more those things become a part of you dwelling in you, the easier it is to shift gears and say, oh, I'm stuck down here. I got to shift back up here and see things more clearly. Think of Elisha's servant, right? It's so hard not to think. It's such a powerful story. Elisha's servant, as Elisha and all the people of Israel are surrounded, they're standing on the wall. The Syrian army, it looks completely unbeatable. Maybe you felt a moment in your life where whatever is opposing you seems unbeatable. And so Elisha says a prayer, and his servant's eyes are opened to see the fiery, mighty, angelic army of God that is beyond our sight, hidden, but not unreal, unseen, but not imaginary. It was there. It's here. The angels are here. Jesus is here. His spirit is here. His power is here, and it's at work in you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And so when we see from above, we see through the eyes of faith what is, and it shifts everything else. So let me take these first two points and do an application point. First, our life hidden above. Confidence check. Is your hope secure in Christ? Have you placed your faith in Him? Are you submitting your life to Him? And do you recognize that through Him, you're an overcomer, more than conqueror, Romans 8 says. Do you realize eternal life, the life from above, has already begun in you? Already begun in you. That's the Bible's teaching on this, as we see in all of the passages where we talk about eternal life or everlasting life. The life begins when we raise with Christ. Though you have died, though you die, you will never die, because everlasting life has already begun in you. And a check on our life seen below, or seen from above, a perspective check. Where is your focus most days? Are you in ground level worries most of the time, or heaven's view? What old clothes do you need to shed? Do you let Christ's peace call the shots? On December 24th, 1968, the Apollo 8 astronauts went up to the moon and took this picture that has become known as Earthrise. Earthrise. And here's what Bill Anders, one of the astronauts, said. We came all this way to explore the moon and discovered the Earth. Can't see Earth like this from where we stand, but you can see your life like this from where Jesus stands, and that's where your life already is. Let me just pull out a couple of the statements that he makes in the rest of this chapter as we think about living our life out below. As we think about how do we then take this new perspective and start putting it practically into daily life. And Paul applies this to households and to work and to everything we do. So he uses this term in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. This word for rule is an athletic term from the first century in the Greek, an athletic term for umpiring, refereeing. Make the call as to what's in and what's out. Let the peace of Christ rule, be decisive in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. This doesn't mean let your feelings rule. That's not the idea. It's like, oh, when I feel good, that means that I'm in the will of Christ. The idea, he says, he continues, to which you indeed you are called in one body. It's not just the inward peace, which is real, the peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4:7 talks about, guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But there's also the peace of Christ, that is the bond of the Spirit, the unity of the people of God, Ephesians 4 talks about, that dwells in God's people. We have a peace among ourselves that is an umpire, that is directive. And our behavior is affected by this peace that Christ wants to bring. It's not a peace where there is no peace. It's not like, oh, throw out the will of God and just agree with any false idea. But if you read this, you read about the things he wants us to put on and put off, you see how the peace of Christ rules. When you put on compassion and humility and gentleness, and he says love, which binds everything together like super glue, and you let this peace of Christ create one body, whenever you put off dissensions and lies and bitterness, and you forgive one another, and you deal with these things in a Christ-like way, peace is the result. And it becomes this way. You can tell, is Jesus' peace ruling this body, or is something else going on here? He says later on in Colossians 3:23, he uses this word whatever. A couple times in this chapter, he uses whatever. Not like, you know, teenagers when I was younger would say, whatever. No, whatever, as in anything, everything that is, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. See, this is ground floor living. This Monday morning stuff from an eternal perspective, because Christ is ruling these things. And he talks about fathers and children and husbands and wives and servants and these real life situations. We need to let whatever we do be ruled by Christ. Because remember what he said in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus, who is life for me. Jesus said, I don't know whether I'm not Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 1, I don't know whether I'm going to die or whether I'm going to live, but for to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Or in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he talks about how I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ is living in me. And the life I live now in this body, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ, who is your life. So if you think about a wheel. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. It's interesting to me that he talks about Christ. Paul usually talks about Christ, but the name of Jesus, this person who lived on earth, but who existed in eternity and made everything and is now reigning, having risen in history, risen from the dead, and now is ascended to the Father. Jesus, that name, is the name that has authority over everything we do. That is the driver of everything we do. And so we have all these spokes, like a bicycle wheel, all these different parts of life. And so he talks about work, and he talks about family, you know, he talks about marriage, and he talks about parenting. You know, we could add all kinds of things, whatever is happening in your life, okay? I'm thinking back to the list that the high schoolers gave me. They said sports, and they said, you know, homework and school. And, you know, whatever area, finances, whatever area of your life you want to define, and we could make hundreds of spokes out here. But here's what we can't do. We can't, I don't know if that's too low, I'm gonna put it over here. We can't make Jesus a spoke. We can't make Jesus a part of our life. This is one of the things I do in my life is I'm also a Christian. Mm-mm. Jesus is not an also. Jesus is not a hobby. Jesus is not an additional relationship we have. Jesus is everything to those of us who have died with him and are risen and reigning. He gave everything for you, and we give everything to him. And we say everything is going to be better, actually, because we put all of our trust and all of our obedience in you as central. And whenever I decide what I'm going to do with my time tomorrow, whenever I decide what I'm going to do with my money, how I'm going to work, how my relationships in my family, how the relationships in the church are going to be, everything I do is going to come from Christ, who is my life, and I'm going to see my life from the right hand of God, where Jesus is, knowing, as we sing sometimes, he is my everything. Or as Fanny J. Crosby put it in her song, Blessed Assurance, she talked about how she talked about the blessed assurance that she has. And she said, this is my story. This is my song. This is my whole story right here, praising my Savior. You know, Fanny J. Crosby was blind, but she could see this. This is my story. Jesus is my life. So whatever I do, in word and deed, I do it under the name and leadership and guidance of Jesus Christ, and in his name, for him. So, the invitation is to die and to resurrect with Jesus. For those of us who are already in Christ, who have declared him to be our life, let me give you two more application checks. A habit check. Are you living out the life of Christ below? What is the hub of your life? How do you treat your family at home? How do you approach your ordinary work? And a values check. What sits at the center of your life's orbit? What do you actually worship? What is first in your life? What defines you? Regulations, human teachings aren't going to get us there, even though they look wise. It's about resurrected life. Hidden above, seen from above, lived below, centered in Christ. If you're ready to come to Jesus and follow him, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.